know, over the last decade, 75% of Canada's population growth has come from immigration. The Northern Policy Institute, along with its partner organizations, has been actively working on a pilot project that actually targets newcomers to fill jobs here for quite some time. And as part of a recent mandate letter from the Prime Minister, the new federal government plans a program that will allow communities to pick immigrants with skills based on local labor needs. Now, Charles Sirtwell, the CEO, founding president of Northern Policy Institute, in our studio. Charles, good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Stop that. Oh, my goodness. January 3rd.
I know. So this federal initiative sounds somewhat familiar. Is it something like you guys are doing as well?
So the feds are kind of, this is sort of the third stage. So they launched I guess it's the fourth stage, depending on how far you go back. I'll try to finish this off. All right, so they did provincial nominee programs. So they moved away from people in Ottawa deciding who got to move to Ontario, Manitoba, and they did that about 20, 25 years ago. In some of the provinces, it's been a huge success, particularly in Manitoba, where Manitoba figured out that very quickly that the people in Winnipeg didn't know anything else about the communities outside of Winnipeg than Ottawa knew about Winnipeg. And so they very quickly moved to a model that allowed local communities to kind of say, these are the people we need who we can't fill these jobs because the people who are already here either don't want them or don't have the skills to do them, and it's very difficult to get those particular skills. And so what that led to eventually was the federal government catching on that actually that's not a bad idea, and the Atlantic province is making a lot of noise. You and I know about the Atlantic province
making noise.
And so they got what was called the Atlantic Immigration Pilot. And so all four of the provincial provinces in Atlantic Canada got an allocation that allowed them to kind of take a special route to immigration. That's been going for about 2.5 years now, hugely successful, particularly in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. Then about 18 months ago, 20 months ago, the federal government launched something called the Rural and Northern Immigration Pilot. Because lo and behold, they figured, well, if it worked in Atlantic Canada, maybe it'll work elsewhere. And so there was a national competition. 5 Northern Ontario cities were selected as part of those 11. Those 5 communities are just about up and running. Sault Ste. Marie's got its program in place. They're taking applications for people coming in, and they've got their job data, so they know the positions that they want to hire. They're particularly focusing on the manufacturing side where they haven't been able to get people. Thunder Bay staffed up their side, and they're just about ready to launch. They're screening employers now, and they'll probably start taking applications from individuals pretty soon. North Bay, Sudbury, and Timmins are a little bit farther behind, but they're all coming along. And now this program comes. And so here we get to the third stage, and the third stage is, well, you know, 11 cities is great, but there's probably a couple thousand communities across Canada could use this, so maybe we should open it up. And I'm surprised at how quickly the feds are moving on this, quite honestly, because this is very quickly devolving that power farther and farther away from Ottawa. And that's something the feds just don't normally do.
That was a long answer, but it speaks to the need, too. I mean, it suggests that we know what we need. Just give us the resources.
Well, absolutely. You gave that number. You said 75% of population growth in Canada has been driven by immigration. That's true for the country as a whole, but that's a country number. If you take a look at the numbers for Ontario or Northern Ontario in particular, that's not the case at all. Most of the population growth in Northern Ontario has been through increased birth rates among the Indigenous population, and to a certain extent, some migration amongst our communities. In other words, Thunder Bay steals folks from Kenora, Kenora steals folks from Thunder Bay, maybe some of us move to Ignace or Nipigon or those kind of things. And so we kind of do a lot of cross-pollination.
Now, you have said, and I've talked to you about this before, that unless we increase our immigration and refugee numbers here dramatically, the future of Northern Ontario, we're an aging population. We can't sustain what we have.
Absolutely. And you take a look at some of the numbers, and we're talking, you know, just to sustain the communities at the levels we have them, not to kind of grow.
Just
to be able to staff the hospitals, staff the schools, continue to supply kind of basic services, we're going to need somewhere around 1,500 to 2,000 new people every year for the next 15 years.
How are we doing?
Not too good. But before we get to the how we're doing, I want to emphasize one point. That number assumes that we solve all of the other problems we've got here. That assumes full employment, which means all of those Indigenous folks who are separated from the economy, who are getting poor services, who are facing racism and other barriers, we've solved all those problems. So we've waved a magic wand, assumed all those other problems are gone, and we still would need 1,500 to 2,000 extra people. And how we're doing, about I think Thunder Bay hit about 36 or 37 net positive last year.
36 or 37?
People.
People.
That's right.
Not families.
So if you think about a goal of 1,500, and we're maybe cracking 100 on a good year, we got a long way to go.
So so how do we build? How do we do this? How do we get people here? I keep thinking of LU, Confederation College, international students. You talk to any number of them, they want to stay here. I mean, that's obviously a ready pool. Are we doing anything there?
So the federal government, again, has done a lot of work around that. It used to be, and it still is the case, that the worst possible thing you can say as an international student is, boy, I'd like to stay in Canada after I graduate. It's not the worst thing you say. It probably is, well, no, correction. It's still the worst thing you can say, but the penalties for saying it are less than they used to be, I guess is the best way to put it. So there's still lots of barriers around that, but there are programs like the Rural and Northern Immigration Pilot that I was talking about mm-hmm. that are going to make that easier. Mm-hmm. But let's remember that is a pilot, and so for the Thunder Bay area, we're talking about 100 principal applicants, 100 principal applicants a year. So we could go from what our net now is to 100, and that's an approximation. I have to pull the numbers to be sure, but you know, theoretically, we could double that just with the one program alone. Now, let's assume that out of that 100, 50, 55 of them are singles, and the other 40 might have a spouse and a kid. So we're probably talking about two people per principal applicant. So there you go. We've got 200 out of our 1,500 target. That's one program. I suspect that this new program that they launched, the RNIP community is not going to be eligible. So Nipigon can probably use it. Gates will probably be able to use it. Kenora, Sioux Lookout, Manitowoc, but no Thunder Bay.
There was one figure from the Canadian Chamber of Commerce that says nearly 500,000 jobs are going unfilled in many sectors.
Yes.
So, but is, again, that's Canada-wide. That's not here. How is our job situation?
It's worse.
It's worse. Okay.
So when they say 500,000 jobs are going wanting, most of those jobs are in areas like ours. Most of the urban centers are doing quite well, thank you very much, on the employment side of the equation. You know, we're talking 5-6 percent unemployment on a bad year. In some of our communities, we're talking about 10, 11, 12, 14. In some subpopulations, we're talking about 26-30% unemployment. And so we've got a long way to go in that field. One of the ways in which immigration is having a tough time filling that need is that even with the shift towards rural communities, even with the shift towards recognizing that the country would be better off if fewer immigrants went to the big five cities, in particular the big three, Montreal, Edmonton, and Toronto, yeah, and Vancouver. Halifax, oddly enough, gets into the five. I don't know how that happened, but anyway.
It was gorgeous.
It is, and I spent a lot of time working on it, so now I'm sort of quasi-proud, but at the same time wishing that they wouldn't steal so many immigrants. But anyway, never mind, get back to the focus, which is this. There's still a bias in Ottawa towards what they call the highly skilled immigrant. We all want the rocket scientists, quite frankly. We want rocket scientists and PhDs and millionaires who are moving from other countries. And that's not going to help a community like Ignace. That's not going to help a community like Greenstone, who needs skilled tradespeople, who needs a local barber, who needs a Francophone teacher, quite frankly. And so in many cases, the labor priorities in markets like the ones that are in Northern Ontario do not align, and I'll use the word, do not align with the prejudices of the people running the immigration programs in Ottawa. They want people who are going to come in and make $95,000, $100,000 a year. We need people to run the local retail shop. We need people who are going to work at the local gas station. We need people who are going to be happy working at the mill and enjoying it, because that's the kind of job and the kind of future that they want to have. Right now, the priorities, the talking points that the politicians use and the priorities that show up in the regulations and the rules are two different things.
Yeah. So what's next then? I mean, like, in terms of, like, you've laid out the situation, you've laid out the possibilities that are out there. So at the pilot project, so when does that – you've said you've got the things operating here in Thunder Bay right now. We might see something from that?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question we've made huge progress. Mm-hmm. You know, I paint the picture the way I do because the simple fact is I don't want anybody resting on their laurels, because mm-hmm. we're a long way from done. But the federal immigration rules have changed. They've got the rural pilot going. They've now moved to the municipal pilot. We've seen the Ontario government change its rules around adding things like personal support workers and truck drivers, two things that our communities desperately need.
Yeah.
And And now they've made those a priority under their provincial program. Those are all good changes. They've all happened in the last 12 to 18 months, but at least they're being made. The critical thing now for many of our communities is we're not ready. They're opening the door for us, and in many instances, we have no idea how to market ourselves, no idea how to who to target, how to talk to them, or what to do when they get here.
So yeah, we have retaining.
To look, well, absolutely. We have to make them welcome. And we continue to have racism problems domestically. And so that creates fear among people who might want to be coming here. So we need to solve those basic problems. We need to build a better relationship amongst the people who are already here. And then we have to market our communities as truly welcoming. And the way to do that, of course, is to be welcoming.
Is to be welcome. Well, thanks.
Always good to chat with you.
It is always good to chat with you. You bring us back to reality, and it's good to know what's happening out there. Speaking with Charles Sirtwell, founding president and CEO of the Northern Policy Institute here in Thunder Bay.